Let me say good afternoon to everyone. And I want to thank those brothers that have participated thus far in service to the Lord. I want to thank those that were able to come back out this afternoon. Also want to be mindful of those, our members of Highland Heights that are sick and shut in. We want you to know our thoughts are with you also as we look at and worship God according to the Spirit and the truth. The Bible teaches us in Acts 2:42 and verse number 47 of the fact that when they assembled on the first time, they were the opportunity to worship God in spirit and truth after the ascension of Christ. The Bible tells us that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking the bread and prayer. Also, they praised God. The Bible says, in having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. So there's someone here today and you have not rendered obedience to Christ. No one is saved until they rendered obedience to the Lord and do those things that God has commanded in his word that one must do to be added to the church. Amen. On this morning, we spoke from God's word, and we looked at Paul himself talking about how he is crucified. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. And he talked about, he said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So if you're with us this morning, we looked at the fact that how we as Christians, just as we talked this morning about crucifixion was a slow death, and we talked about how we need to die to things that hinder us from being obedient to God. Paul did a very good job when he wrote to the Colossian church about those things that are to be mortified in the body or put to death in the body. And those things, those desires that we each have that are forbidden by God, we need to work on ourselves, and we need to remove those things from our lives that we can be pleasing to God and to make heaven our home. Amen. But on this evening, I thought in connection with that, as I try to do, is connect the morning, the afternoon message with the morning message. So it kind of put us in a thought, and we was talking about crucifixion on this morning about ourselves being crucified with Christ. But I thought it'd be important this afternoon to simply look at Mark's version of Christ being crucified in Mark chapter number 15. So if you meet me, I'll pick up at the 19th verse. In Mark chapter 15, the 19th verse, as we look at my subject title for this afternoon, and they crucify him. The Bible tells us, and thank you, Brother Red, in our hearing, verse number 24, the Bible says, and when they had crucified him. So let's just look at that event as it relates to our lives, and hopefully as we look at that, it will allow us to see again what Christ did for each of us, as the Bible will share. And the Bible says in verse number 19, it says, and they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and bowing their knees, worship him. So they was making fun, because the next verse tells us, and when they had mocked, when they was worshiping and bowing, it was mocking him. The Bible says, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe from him, the one they had put on him, and mocking him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to be crucified. The Bible says, and they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country. The Bible says he was the father of Alexander and Rufus, and they got him to bear his cross. The Bible says, and they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. Now, as I kind of shared this morning, Golgotha is the Hebrew word for skull. And so it was a place of the skull was the place of execution for criminals. That's where they would take criminals to execute them, and they referred to it as the place of the skull. And again, that's the Hebrew. So again, as I said this morning, tried to share, the gospel according to Mark was written for those that were of Roman descent. But now, look, turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 23. And I want us to see the difference as we shared on this morning. In Luke 23, and the verse is number 33. We'll see the difference that we have in the Word of God. So again, Luke wrote to those that were of Gentile, for the Gentile. Now notice what verse 33 said. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. So again, now Calvary is the Greek word for skull. Yeah, the place is the same as Golgotha. And so sometimes we sing the song on Mount Calvary. Yeah, we sing that song, but actually that was simply a hill where they crucified individuals, where they lifted Christ up and they crucified him. So the gospel, according to Luke again, Luke wrote to those that were Gentiles. And so they called it Calvary, where the Romans referred to it as Golgotha, those being the same place, the place of the skull. Yeah. And so then we find now back in in Mark 15, the actual crucifixion of Christ. The Bible says, reads, and they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. Now, what they did, they gave Jesus, they gave him vinegar, which was sour wine, Matthew 27:34, and it was mixed, the Bible says, with myrrh. This was given to deaden the pain. What they wanted you to do is they wanted you to suffer longer. So they would give you something that would deaden the pain and allow you to suffer longer. But what we find from that, Jesus did nothing to remove the suffering for us on the cross. Yeah. Jesus said, no, I'm going to suffer. God has me to suffer for all mankind. I'm not going to do anything to soften the suffering that I did for mankind. And Jesus knew. That's why he asked his Father, if it be your will to remove this from me. He said, but thou will, not my will to be done. No one wants to suffer. No one wants to suffer. But Jesus said, if it is my lot to suffer, then I will suffer. So when they gave him that, they wanted him to stay there longer and for them to suffer. Deaden the pain. It was like giving a person an antiseptic, something that would deaden the pain, that you don't feel it. But Jesus said, for each of us, I will suffer that pain. The Bible says, it reads, and when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And as I said this morning, crucifixion consisted in nailing the outstretched hands to the cross, leaving one to die by suffering. Yeah. His feet was nailed to the cross, and it records us that, again, crucifixion was considered the most horrible form of death. You know, we started in this country, they started lynching individuals back in the 1900s, started lynching individuals in 1800 or so. But back then, at that time, the worst most horrible form of death was to nail a person on the cross. And as I said, as I was doing the study, it said sometimes a person may be on that cross for more than a day. And you're just hanging there. But we have recorded for us that our Lord, the Bible says it was the third hour and they crucified him. And we know that they left him there until the ninth hour. The Bible says Jesus had been to trial before he went before the Jewish authorities. He went before Pilate. He went before Herod, and then again back before Pilate before they sentenced him to death. So Jesus had went through all of those trials. And after that, the Bible says they still crucified him. Pilate wanted to try to let him go, but then he gave in to the people. And I want to say to all of us, we have to be careful that we don't give in to the people. Yeah, we don't give in to what the majority want to do. We have to live according to the word of God, do those things that we find written in the word of God. And the Bible says, and the superscription of his accusation was written over the king of the Jews. You know, what they would do over the head of the criminal, they would have why he's crucified and the accusation. And the accusation, if you go back and study, if you remember, they wanted Pilate to say, he said he is the king of the Jews. But Pilate was angry with them because they didn't listen to him. And he said, I said what I said, I'm going to put up there the king of the Jews. No, they wanted, he's not our king. Put up there, he said he was the king. Yeah, and other versions of that. But they put a subscription up there that said, the king of the Jews. The Bible says, and with him, they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. The Bible says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said he was numbered with the transgressors. And so it talks about why he was on the cross. Now, again, you know, it's one thing when even us in our human bodies, when we are in pain. Now, I know if you like me, I don't want nobody messing with me. Yeah. When you're in pain, leave me alone. But notice what they did to Jesus while he was on the cross. Verse 29 tells us, and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyed the temple and builded it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribe, he saved others, himself he can. Can you just realize you in pain and you suffering and you got people right next to you talking about you, telling you about what you can do and what you can do and those type of things? That only, you know, it's almost the expression is they pouring salt in your wound. But I want to share with us, turn your Bibles as I move to the close, to Isaiah. Wants to see Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, how the Holy Spirit led Isaiah to write these words for us, where Mark picked up in Isaiah 53, and the verse is number 12. The Bible reads, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. God said regarding his son, he has poured out his soul unto death. Remember when the soldier pierced him in the side. The Bible tells us in John 19:34, out came both blood and water. And then for our sake, the Bible says, it reads, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I want each of us to know, all of us, myself included, that we are those transgressors that Jesus made intercession for. What Jesus did for us was he died on a cross that we should have died for. Because God is a righteous God and would not allow no one's sins to go unpunished. And therefore, as we said this morning, that's the reason why one, anyone that have not obeyed the Lord to become a child of God, one must come in contact with that blood that was poured out for the forgiveness of our sin. That can only be done initially in water baptism. So Jesus Christ died for us on the cross. And I think if we, remember I talked about this morning, about the fact that we have a memory. God gave us the ability to remember things. And sometimes as we live in 2024, let us be mindful of what Jesus did for each of us on that cross. And hopefully that memory of what Christ did for us will hinder us or stop us from doing some of the things that violates God's will while we live in 2024. We must crucify that old man. And as I said this morning, as I die to those things, then Christ is able to live, as Paul said, in me. The more I die, the more Christ lives. And so now what we all should want to do in 2024, allow other people to see, but Paul said, Christ liveth in me. People can see Christ in me. How? Because of the faith I have in the Son, the words of God are what I'm living by, and that's what moves me. That's what motivates me to live for the Lord because of what he did for me on that cross. And understand this here. There's nothing greater anyone can do for you than to die in your stead. Jesus did that for all of us. And all God is requiring of us is that we study the word of God. As I said this morning, we have a accurate pattern in Jesus Christ. Now it's our responsibility to be faithful to what we learn and to stick with it. If all of us do that, guess what? As I said this morning, we'll receive an eternal life that God will give to each of us if we live according to God's will. If there's someone today that have not obeyed the will of God, you need to know that you are guilty distance from God, in the sense that one must do the five acts that we find written in the word of God for anyone to become a child of God. One must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. After believing that, I must repent of my sin. What is repentance, Brother Stroud? That means I turn from the way I've been living and I turn toward God. Then one must, we find in Acts 8:37, one made the confession that the eunuch made after Philip had preached unto him the gospel. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then one complete that obedience in water baptism for the forgiveness of all your past sins. Then the Lord adds you to the church. We become adopted sons and daughters. And now Jesus is our eldest brother once we are in obedience to the Lord. If there's someone that need to respond to the invitation in any way, shape, or form, we bid you to come as our brother come and lead us in a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.